And now as we continue with our studies in the life of David, I want to read to you today some verses from 2 Samuel chapter 19. Again, I draw your attention to the fact that this is a very long chapter, 43 verses in this chapter. I just want to read a selection of verses in the hope that you will find time in the privacy of your own home to read through the chapter and learn the historical background, and then be able to apply these spiritual truths. Reading then from 2 Samuel chapter 19, verse 8. Then the king arose and sat in the gate, and they told unto all the people, saying, Behold, the king doth sit in the gate. And all the people came before the king, for Israel had fled every man to his tent. And all the people were at strife throughout all the tribes of Israel, saying, The king saved us out of the hand of our enemies. He delivered us out of the hand of the Philistines. And now he is fled out of the land for Absalom. And Absalom, whom we anointed over us, is dead in battle. Now therefore, why speak ye not a word of bringing the king back? And King David sent to Zadok and Abiathar the priest, saying, Speak unto the elders of Judah, saying, Why are ye the last to bring the king back to his house, seeing the speech of all Israel is come to the king, even to his house? Ye are my brethren, ye are my bones and my flesh, wherefore then are ye the last to bring back the king? Now then, verse 15. So the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. And Shimei the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was of Bahurim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. There were 1,000 men of Benjamin with him, and Ziba the servant of the house of Saul, and his 15 sons, and his 20 servants with him. They went over Jordan before the king. And there went over a ferry boat to call over the king's household and to do what he thought good. And Shimei the son of Gera fell down before the king as he was come over Jordan, said unto the king, Let not my lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned. Therefore, behold, I am come the first this day of all the house of Joseph to go down to meet my lord the king. Now read a little further down the passage, verse 24. And Mephibosheth the son of Saul came down to meet the king, and neither dressed his feet, nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes, from the day the king departed until the day he came again in peace. It came to pass, when he was come to Jerusalem to meet the king, the king said unto him, Wherefore wentest thou not with me, Mephibosheth? He answered, My lord, O king, my servant deceived me, for thy servant said, I will saddle me an ass, that I may ride thereon and go to the king, because thy servant is lame. He hath slandered thy servant unto my lord the king, but my lord the king is as an angel of God. Do therefore what is good in thine eyes. Verse 30. And Mephibosheth said unto the king, Yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king is come again in peace unto his own house. And Barzillai the Gileadite came from Rogelim, went over Jordan with the king to conduct him over Jordan. Now Barzillai was a very aged man, even 80 years old, and he had provided the king of sustenance while he lay in Mahanaim, for he was a very great man. And the king said unto Barzillai, Come thou over with me, and I will feed thee with me in Jerusalem. Barzillai said unto the king, How long have I to live, that I should go up with the king unto Jerusalem? I am this day 80 years old, and can discern between good and evil. Can thy servant taste what I eat or what I drink? Can I hear any more the voice of singing men and singing women? Wherefore then should thy servant be yet a burden unto my lord the king? Thy servant will go a little way over Jordan with the king. Why should the king recompense it me with such a reward? Let thy servant, I pray thee, turn back again. I may die in mine own city, and be buried by the grave of my father and of my mother. But behold, thy servant Chimham, let him go over with my lord the king, and do to him what shall seem good unto thee. And the Lord will bless to us, I'm sure, the reading of these verses. Let us bow for a moment of prayer. Our Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we acknowledge thee again. We thank thee for thy word and for the instruction that it gives us. Now, as we have been reading again from the sacred word, wilt thou by thy Holy Spirit bless it to each of us for the Lord Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, in coming to this chapter, it seems to be somewhat delightful when compared or contrasted with what we have been studying. This chapter can well be labeled Bringing Back the King. Now, if you follow through the path of David's life, it seems to be like some kind of bewildering maze. It's got twistings and turnings. His life has had a lot of ups and downs, ins and outs, advances and retreats, times of peace, times of war. But you know, it was David himself who said one day, "The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord." Now let me repeat these words again, that they may fall upon all your ears and reach your hearts. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. However, in seeking to propound such a truth, we should also remember this, that a man's stops, as well as his steps, can be ordered by the Lord. In plain words, that means that God can be ordering us to step forward to make a move. It could also be the mind of God for us to stop, consider, and think. So when we repeat the words of David that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, we keep this in mind, so are the stops. We should lay hold upon this great truth. However, when you come to think of David, and if you let this truth grip your heart, that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, then that means that we will not trust to some kind of fickle fortune, reading the horoscope every morning to find out what the day has in store for you. Christians don't believe in that kind of rubbish. Neither do we trust to blind fate. Some people, you know, are fatalists. They speak in terms of, well, every bullet has its billet. If my name's on it, it'll get me. That's blind fate. Now, the Christian doesn't walk by fickle fortune or blind fate. But the walk of the man that trusts in God is a walk of faith. And he will walk with perfect confidence in God. He'll be able to put his hand in the hand of God, knowing that his steps are ordered by the Lord. And when one keeps close to the Lord, he can't go wrong. When you read the parable of the lost sheep, you know, it was because it got away from the others. It wandered away from those that were keeping close to the shepherd. If the sheep had kept close to the shepherd, it would never have got lost. You and I wander and make our mistakes when we get away from the side of the Lord. But when we keep in touch with Him, we can continually say then the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. It's the life of faith. Now, David in his lifetime had some very sad experiences. We have been touching on some of these in our past studies. We think of how sad it must have been for David to be despised at one time by his own brothers. We think of the sad experiences he had when Saul tried to take his life and he had to run. We think of how sad he was that day when he heard of the death of his friend Jonathan. We think of how sad it was when his son rebelled against him. But we think of how sad an experience when he himself allowed himself to be dragged down by his own passions and fall into an awful sin when he encountered, as it were, that fearful fall. These were sad times in his life. But you know, David also had some very happy times. So you do not dwell all the time on the sad experiences. Think a little of some of the happy times. Now, in his life then, David had passed through the darkness of a gloomy night. And when we come to this chapter that's before us today, it seems that the gloomy night has passed. The darkness is giving way to the bright and beautiful dawn of a new day. You know, sometimes when we're passing through the winter, and there's the harshness of the cold, and some people in some parts of the world find that winter can be a very trying time with the coldness and the dampness, harshness. But you know, the harshness of the cold winter gives way to the happiness and joy of the spring, when there is the evidence of new life. And the bulbs burst out from the ground, and the buds burst out on the trees. It's a sign of life. It's a sign of resurrection. It brings joy with it. There's happiness. And people begin to be merry when the springtime comes. It seems to me that when we come to this chapter then, the winter has passed. The spring of David's life is beginning to burst out, as it were, anew. And this time, there's going to be a lot of joy. Bring back the king. Now, in bringing back the king, there are some lessons here that might touch each of us. Note some of the incidents in this journey of David back to Jerusalem, back to the throne. And note also some of the people associated with David at the time of his return to the throne. So you take note of the incidents, you take note of the places that are mentioned, you take note of the people who came to meet him. You know, it's very, very interesting to notice this, that when David was coming back where he came to, he's coming back to Jordan. He's passing over Jordan. Because verse 18 says, "And there went over a ferry boat to carry over the king's household and to do what he thought good." So they're bringing him over the river Jordan. So the king returned and came to Jordan. But then there are those who go down to a place called Gilgal, which was on the western shore of the river Jordan. Now think for a moment of these two places that are associated here with bringing back the king. No doubt when they came to Jordan, there are two things they would have to remember. So far as David was concerned, he would keep in mind the fact that when he crossed over Jordan shortly before this, he was fleeing from his rebellious son. He was fleeing from those who sought his life, and he had crossed over Jordan in fear. Now he's coming back over Jordan, and he's coming back here to reign. The people now have turned back to David, and they're bringing back their king. But there's another thing we'd have to remember, which seems to suggest a principle that must reach all our hearts. Wasn't it the river Jordan that the nation of Israel had to cross over when God brought them into the promised land under the leadership of Joshua? Wasn't it at Jordan where God rolled back the waters and brought them through and placed their feet on the ground of the promised land? God did that for them. And right here I suggest to you that David would be reminded of these two things, that it was God that brought the people in and promised them the land. Not only so, he realized that he had fled. And when he was going over Jordan, he was going out of the land. He was going away from the place of blessing. Now he's coming back over again to be reinstated to a true relationship with his people and into a true relationship, no doubt, with God. But then, there were those who went down and met him at Gilgal. Interesting to notice who it was that came to Gilgal. First of all, there were those of Judah, and they came down. And he bowed the heart of all the men of Judah, even as the heart of one man, so that they sent this word unto the king, "Return thou and all thy servants." And the king returned and came to Jordan, and Judah came to Gilgal to go to meet the king, to conduct the king over Jordan. Now, I want you to notice this, that when they came to Gilgal, their memories would be refreshed. Gilgal was something that stood out as a memorial in the history of God's people. It was at Gilgal where they stood, as it were, when they came into the land under the guidance and leadership of Joshua. Gilgal took its name from something that was done there. It was there that the reproach of Egypt was rolled away. It was there that the covenant sign was again renewed. And they knew that they were in a proper relationship with their God. Now the men of Judah have come down to Gilgal, and if their memories served them correctly regarding the history of their own people, they would call to remembrance it was there that their forefathers renewed, as it were, their covenant with God. It was there they stood in a true relationship with their God when the reproach of Egypt was rolled away. That was the place now that they came to. Now notice some of the other people that came. In verse 16 of chapter 19, we're reminded of a man whose name was Shimei. Shimei the son of Gera, a Benjamite, which was of Bahurim, hasted and came down with the men of Judah to meet King David. Now I want you to remember who this man was. This was a man who walked on the opposite side of the Kidron when David had fled. When David went over the Kidron and went up onto the slopes of Olivet, over on the other side of the valley, there was a man who was of the tribe of Benjamin, who cursed David, who threw stones at David when David was fleeing. And he told David, "You're finished with it, David. There's no more for you in the purposes of God. You've got no hope in God." And he said such things like this to David. This is the man who now comes out to meet David, Shimei. And when that man came to David, he had something to say. Here's what he said to King David, "Let not my Lord impute iniquity unto me, neither do thou remember that which thy servant did perversely the day that my lord the king went out of Jerusalem, that the king should take it to his heart. For thy servant doth know that I have sinned." He was a man who comes out to make his true confession to the king that he had despised, to the king he had cursed, to the king he had insulted. Now he comes. And Shimei, in true repentance, bows himself to the king. Let me tell you something, dear listener. When the Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, there were those that rejected him. There were those that despised him He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, acquainted with grief. They cast him out and said, "We will not have this man to reign over us." But then, do you realize there's a time when he'll come back? He'll come back as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And the very people who despised him, those that pierced him, will look upon him. And they'll be brought to their knees in true confession. Do you realize that God has ordained that every knee shall bow to the Lord Jesus Christ, and every tongue shall confess that He is Lord, to the glory of God the Father? Yes, even those that despised Him and cursed Him, just like Shimei. Shimei bows down before Him and says, I have sinned. Then there's another man comes out. It's that man that we studied away back in chapter 9 with the peculiar name, Mephibosheth. Now remember, Mephibosheth was lame on his feet. He wasn't able to go into battle like the rest. But he stayed at home, and he stayed up there in Jerusalem while David was away. Nevertheless, I want you to notice in verse 24, "And Mephibosheth the son of Saul came down to meet the king, and he had neither dressed his feet," remember he was lame, "nor trimmed his beard, nor washed his clothes from the day the king departed till the day he came again in peace." You see, all the time that the king was absent, Mephibosheth was in a state of mourning. He wouldn't take any pleasures to himself. He wouldn't make himself comfortable while he thought that the king was out there on the hills or living perhaps in a cave, while the king was chased from home and enduring all the hardships. Mephibosheth was prepared to endure these hardships at home. So he didn't care for his own comforts. He wanted the king to come back. But there was one man who had slandered Mephibosheth. It was Ziba, the servant of Saul, who had become the servant of Mephibosheth. And now he had slandered Mephibosheth. He told lies about Mephibosheth, and King David had made a certain promise to him. But watch the wisdom of David. Here's what David said. "And the king said unto him, Why speakest thou any more of the matters I have said? Thou and Ziba divide the land." In plain words, the things that David had given to Mephibosheth, now he says, "We'll divide it. We'll allow Ziba to take half, and will allow you to take half." That seemed to be a fair proposition. I want you to notice the answer that Mephibosheth gave. It touches the heart again. Mephibosheth said unto the king, "Yea, let him take all, for as much as my lord the king has come again in peace unto his own house." It seems very much like the wisdom that was displayed at a later date by Solomon. When you think of King David here, he says to Mephibosheth, "Now we'll do this, we'll take your inheritance and we'll just divide it. We'll give a half to you and we'll give a half to Ziba." Mephibosheth says, "Don't bother doing that. So far as I'm concerned, let him have it all. I'm not interested in possessions. I'm not interested in things. I'm interested in the person of the king, and as long as the king is here, I'm happy with the king." My friend, are you more interested in the gifts than you are in the giver? Are you more interested in the blessings than you are in the blesser? Or are we satisfied with the Lord Jesus Christ? Can we worship Him? Never mind whether you have the blessings or not. Can you bless him? You see, this man is satisfied with the king. We'll be satisfied when the king comes back. Then in finishing, there's an old man here, old Barzillai, over 80 years of age. He's been a friend to David. David said, "If you'll come with us, I'll look after you, I'll feed you. You can be with me at Jerusalem." "Ah," says Barzillai, "how long have I to live? I'm nearing the end of my days, David. It's no use me looking for luxuries now. Just let me go home. I'll die in peace at home and be buried beside my own father and my own mother. And old Barzillai bids farewell to David. The king's coming back, my friend. It won't be long. Have you said anything about bringing back the king?